The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful sweary.
And now...
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Again?
Rocking up my sleeve. Presto! No doubt about it. I gotta get another hat.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-face, dickhead, asshole!
You're listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. Joining me this week, J.C. Carter from the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Hello.
At thecomicbookpodcast.com. And very special guest, friend, award-winning, Taylor Stapleton.
I'm award-winning?
You are for me, pal.
Aw, thanks.
You bet. You do. You get a Best Pal trophy.
Cool.
That's what we're going to do. So let's do just the lightest amount of catch up if we can. What do you guys got going on? What's new? What's happening? What's different?
Nothing.
Good talk.
Am I going to a rally this weekend called the Hedonist Want Rally?
Okay.
In Bakersfield, but like we're still deciding.
Is that what do you? Drive around without wearing anything? What's hedonistic about it?
I don't really know. Probably because it's in Bakersfield.
All right.
But if I do go, my friend Stevie's like getting us rallies, like Rally 200 scooters. And I rode his this week just for like around the block. And it was so fast and scary.
Ah. I don't know.
But it was fun.
Fast is good. I am
it was
speed.
Scary.
That's one of the things I like about motorcycles is, you know, you can flip somebody off and then drive really, really fast away from them.
There's a difference between the size of a motorcycle and a scooter, though, when you're going that fast.
I'm sure. It's totally different balance.
You got to feel like you have a little less control over the whole thing going that fast.
Yeah.
And I know the rally ones are meant for you to be able to take on the highways and stuff, but.
Mm-hmm. That
sounds even scarier
to
me. Yeah, that sounds a little scary to me. Even a motorcycle, not so bad, but a scooter on like a freeway.
I find in town on the freeway on a motorcycle to be some of the most harrowing times of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't imagine doing that on something even smaller.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just set aside how ridiculous I look on a scooter. Yeah, I can't, but I've seen them. I mean, I've seen some of these BYU kids with their bigger Honda Elites, whatever, going on the freeway. It's always kind of risible a little bit, but I don't know. Anyway, you got anything new coming up, sir?
Let's see. Not really. I mean, next week I'm getting some color put in my tattoo. Week after that is World Tai Chi Day, and then a couple weeks after that, I'm off to Scotland. So,
are there any events for World Tai Chi Day this year?
There is. There will be an event at the Wheeler Farm.
Oh,
this will be. It's on the east side of the barn. Starting at 9:30, we're having our big event. We're gathering. I'll be there. I've invited most of my students to be there, or all of my students to be there. I'm sure one or two will show up. And yeah. And then if you don't know anything about Tai Chi, if this is a whole new thing, you're curious, you want to learn more, show up.
Are you?
This is the perfect. Just show up. There will be so many people there who want to help you and guide you and get you to the appropriate sifu to help you learn it.
So. What you're saying is that if you're Thai curious,
yes,
you'll take care of it.
We will take care of your Thai curiosity.
All right.
Nice.
All right. Yep. And you know, it's slow and deliberate, so this will be the best Thai curiosity curing that you could possibly have.
It will help you a lot with your Thai curiosity, because we'll take it slow and easy on you.
That's the first time I've made fun of Tai Chi where I don't feel dirty after, which is weird considering how dirty I made it. Mm-hmm. Let's throw this out there. We're gonna keep this fundraiser going through the end of the month, I believe. After that, it'll just sit static and people can give when they want to. We got a few people that have qualified for some of the bigger, cool-ass prizes. I'll be reaching out to them this week. And you can go over to theleftshow.com and you can give. What I've done so far is for the fundraiser we're trying to put together, an office space we could turn into a studio. It's pretty straightforward. It's pretty simple. And it will be the larger chunk of the money because we're trying to pay off 6 months at a time. What I've done up until now with what's been donated is I'm buying the server space, the software, some hardware, microphones and whatnot to try and get us ready. Even though we've got most everything we need, we've been pilfered and poached over the last few years of basically homelessness, to where there are some things I do need to pick up and a few things that are a little bit out of there. And there's cameras and sound gear and all of this stuff that also has to happen. And so that's begun. And we're doing that, and then we'll if we can manage to hit our goal, we'll go ahead and sign down on the office. And we've got till the end of the month to make that happen. So if you go over to theleftshow.com, click on the fundraiser, you can give there. Go ahead and read down a little bit. You can read through sort of what I'm calling stretch goals, even though they're not stretch goals. They're just gimmies. They're triggers. How about that? We'll just call them triggers. Everybody likes a trigger. So yeah. Yeah, you give, you pull a trigger. Depending on how much you give, the bigger the trigger goes. I got some commercials to make, or some stationery. It depends on what they want, that sort of thing. But yeah, you can do that. But that's about all I've got going on right now. If you're listening to the I Told You So, we're trying to do that. We're taking next week off. Which I'm a little sad about because I actually enjoy making that show, but we've made some movement in that direction to start making that show into more of what I wanted as opposed to more of what it is. So, I mean, things are growing, things are getting, just got the theme music figured out to a new show, which is usually what I need to trigger creativity. Once I get the theme music in, there it is. I'm ready to go. So, yeah, we get some cool shit happening. And I want to thank everybody that's given so far. You guys have been fucking great. A couple of you have given more than once. Holy shit. I love you. and if you would like a hug or, you know, what the fuck? Even a mouth kiss. You just let me know. Yep. Because
I recorded something, my grandpa.
Oh, yeah. Holy shit. Tell me about it.
It kind of just sounds like babbling.
It does.
We were sitting outside of his home. And a lot of it, there was a good portion where people would stop and talk to him. And he would just talk to them for a minute.
Yep.
And so I just kept recording.
No, it's fun. It makes edit more of a challenge, but I think it's adorable.
Mm-hmm. I'll have to send it over.
Yeah. Let me take a run at it. I'm looking forward to it. Did we pick a name yet? Okay.
No. Chats with my grandpa. I don't
know. Just gonna be the same story over and over with my grandpa. Gramp, I'll have to go to my grandma's next.
Yeah.
It happens. Oh, I should mention the World Tai Chi Day is on the 27th of April.
Oh, okay. 27th of April.
Last Saturday in April.
And if you're in town,
Wheeler Farm. Wheeler Farm.
As we used to say as kids, you know, over on the east side of the barn.
Yep. Over on the east side of the barn, we're going to be doing some Tai Chi.
Is that what you call it?
The following week, free comic book day.
Yeah, we'll be doing that over at Dr. Volt's. Mm-hmm. 2043 East, 3300 South, free comic book day is the first Saturday in May this year. That drops it on May the 4th. Be with you. And so that'll be fun. We'll have cosplayers there. There's rumor that there's going to be a comic book creator that's going to be there. Yeah. No official announcement.
Printed a whole bunch of his first issues, and we'll have them for sale. They're
perhaps,
not free.
Perhaps.
I have to sell them. Yeah. Perhaps.
Well, I mean, most of the store is not free. That's why we have to put up signs on everything that says this is not free. So it's fun. So let's do this. Let's do a little bit of news. Now that we're all caught up with one another. But
yes.
The parents of the teenager who killed four students in the 2021 shooting in Oxford, Michigan, were each sentenced to 10 to 15 years in prison on Tuesday, weeks after being convicted of manslaughter. James and Jennifer Crumley, who had faced up to 15 years in prison, have already been in prison for more than 2 years since their arrest in a Detroit warehouse days after the shooting. Though they were tried separately, their sentencing took place together in an Oakland County courtroom. They are the first parents to be held criminally responsible for a mass school shooting committed by their child, as the nation, ours, continues to grapple with the scourge of gunfire on campus and mass shootings. So,
it's about time. That's all I can say.
I think this is a good idea.
Yeah. I know it's a controversial ruling, and it's been made fun of, but at the same time, it's like, if we're not going to take the guns away, let's punish those who caused the problem.
Well, and in this one, I mean, all school shooters are fucking nuts and weird, mm-hmm. and all have a weird story of being able to get their hands on firearms. In this one, the family knew the kid was nuts.
Mm-hmm.
They had dealt with mm-hmm. this. They'd heard from the school, and they purchased guns and didn't lock up the ones they had. They gave him the weapons he used to commit the shooting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, I mean, it was, and so, I mean, really, are you responsible for everything that your kids do? No. No, you're separate people. But when there are red flags aplenty, and you not only ignore them, you fuel them, mm-hmm. I think this is fair. I think this is absolutely fair. You
100%.
Know? I do. But yeah, it was weird watching the trial, watching the mom, Jennifer, throw the dad, James, under the bus over and over and over again, and then for them to both get the same time in jail. It's kind of poetic. I like it.
I just, I don't think they're going to make it as a couple.
Yeah, this puts long-distance relationships in a whole new frame, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, just throwing them under the bus and being like, oh, darn, we're not in the same spot.
Yeah, the gun thing wasn't me. It was him. I don't know. You're both really shitty parents. So that's all I'm saying. Speaking of shitty. Well, that's fun. I sure like it when the dogs do that.
I mean, you said speaking of shitty. And then they start barking.
On the dog's part, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
What They're did you assholes. Think was going to happen?
Tulsa, Oklahoma, House Bill 3098, authored by Senator Jessica Garvin and Representative Tody Hassenbach. I'm sorry, Tony, not Tody. Wah, wah. Could criminalize common STIs and turn thousands of Oklahomans into felons. Instead of working to reduce the spread of STIs, experts in the field say the bill will make the problem worse. If signed into law, House Bill 3098 would criminalize the intentional or reckless spread of STIs. I don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
Not somebody recklessly spreading STIs. But I agree with them that it will cause more reckless spreading of STIs because you're worried that, well, I have an STI, I'm going to be arrested just for having one.
Yep.
Now I'm not going to report it, and therefore I'm going to wind up spreading it. Or I'm not going to bother to find out if I have an STI after sleeping with somebody questionable because I could go to jail.
Hey, anything to keep you from voting, right?
Yeah, no shit,
right?
Violators could face between 2 to 5 years in prison. However, reckless is not defined in the bill, which experts in the field say leaves an open door to potentially unnecessary lawsuits and prosecutions. Because of the broad language, rather than encouraging Oklahomans to get tested, treated, and reduce the spread of STIs, the bill makes the problem worse because people fear prosecution, exactly as you said, sir. Quote, Oklahoma ranks 11th in the nation for chlamydia, number 5 for gonorrhea, number 4 for syphilis.
This explains a lot about Oklahoma.
Yeah, doesn't it, though?
Maybe they should stop being such sluts.
We know the problem is out there. We don't want to scare people and make them go underground. We want them to know their sexual health status is, get tested, get educated, so we stop the spread. Great. This is not the way to do it.
But you're not going to do it by arresting people.
Yeah.
Look, dear conservative America, you want to stop people getting abortions. You don't need to pass laws that prevent abortions and thereby putting women who need the medical procedure called an abortion in order to save their lives available. And you don't have to like arrest people with STIs to prevent it. All you've got to do is ramp up condom education.
How Start dare you?
Ramp that up. And I know, you're going to say, well, that's just going to make the kids be more promiscuous. They're going to be promiscuous anyway. At least they're not having unwanted pregnancies and unwanted STIs as long as you encourage condom use and educate them on it. Start it in high school. Start teaching them about it.
Start teaching them in junior high.
Yeah, no shit. Junior high would be good, too, especially in Oklahoma.
Well, I became active in the 9th grade.
Yes.
So junior high, I think, is an important time to teach kids about what to put on their peckers. And you'll notice I said peckers. You know,
yes.
Do I believe that women should also carry around condoms? Yes, to make the dummy put it on. Everybody should have condoms. They should be everywhere and they should be free. I mean, that's what I used to do. I used to go down to Planned Parenthood and take a couple handfuls of rubbers.
Yeah.
You know, whenever I was in the neighborhood. And they were always like, hey, Jeff. And I was like, hey. just here for a refill.
Look at that stud.
Yeah, more like, yeah, you're not making water balloons, are you? No, no, no.
These are terrible water balloons. They don't break easy.
I just make them like more like a flail than anything else.
Exactly.
Hey, speaking of flailing, J.K. Rowling popped up again this week. And... The British health system did a study on transgender kids, transgender folks, and one of the lines from one of the against experts, you know, was we just really don't have enough science to say definitively left or right. That's the one. That's the throwaway line. I'm paraphrasing, but that's the throwaway line from this report. J.K. Rowling's all, I've been vindicated, because she apparently goes to the goddamn Trump school of melodramatic reactions.
Yes.
So she pops onto Twitter, yada, 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 and then somebody wrote, you know, let me see if I can find it right here. Oh, here we go. Hashtag far right hooligan writes, just waiting for Dan and Emma to give you a public apology, safe in the knowledge that you'll forgive them. To which J.K. Rowling writes back, not safe, I'm afraid. Celebrities who cozied up to a movement intent on eroding women's hard-won rights and who use their platforms to cheer on the transitioning of minors can save their apologies for traumatized detransitioners and vulnerable women reliant on single-sex spaces. Oh, she's so gross.
You just, like, when you hit billionaire, like, once you become a billionaire, do you just become obtuse and, like, the dumbest fucking person alive?
Seems like, doesn't it?
Because I feel like once like, they transition over to billionaire, it's like, oh, you guys are fucking stupid.
Yep. Emma Watson wrote on Twitter, trans people are who they say they are and deserve to live their lives without being constantly questioned or told they aren't who they say they are.
Word.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's all I got. J.K. Rowling sucks, and I'm pissed about it because I can't buy that fucking game I want to play. I love the Harry Potter universe. I'm not ashamed to admit it. You know, I remember my sister had me read the first book to see if it was okay for her kids to read, and I bought the rest of them before I finished the first one. And that, the, you know, for those of you that have read them, you know, they start out pretty elementary and then they move their way into high school YA. They become more serious. The books get fatter. The consequences more severe, yada, yada, as it goes. It's a great trick. It's a wonderful thing, you know, and I liked it. I liked Harry and I liked Hermione and I liked Ron and I liked the whole fucking Ginger family. And I'm mad because she's saying shit, you know, that affects friends of my kids, that friends of mine, you know, good people.
Yep.
You know, and no, she took something special away from me.
Like you, I bought every book, all of them in hardcover, read them all cover to cover, loved them. And yeah, I'm just so disappointed in all of this.
Yeah. I think Harry Potter's stupid. I'm living in my own world, apparently.
You know what? You get to do that because unlike Gina Carano, you understand what the First Amendment means.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you want to know what I'm talking about there, you can pop over to thecomicbookpodcast.com tomorrow, where we have a little bit of a treatise on people who say that companies are squashing their First Amendment rights when that's not how the First Amendment works.
That's against their HIPAA. That's against their HIPAA rights.
Yep.
Their HIPAA rights?
Their HIPAA rights.
I will live on that forever.
Yep.
That's a pretty good one. And then to finish up, Lindsey Graham and Donald Trump are having themselves a little headbutt. Lindsey Graham would like a national abortion ban, and Trump suddenly doesn't.
Hmm.
You know, so Graham stood up to Trump and pissed off Trump to the point where Trump attacked Graham. That's all I'm saying. So who gets Lindsey Graham in the divorce?
No.
Is that what it is? No? Nobody wants him?
Nobody wants him.
All right.
No.
Well, we don't mention him at all in the next section, so let's get to that. We'll be back in just a second, folks.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different. And not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content every week that we record. We do a show on Patreon. Just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does. Including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the show. So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia. Patreon.com defen media.
You are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
I feel like, even though we just did it in the break, to do a quick one over on Patreon and how much fun it is, that's where the unhinged shit goes. We're starting a story time over there on patreon.com/defenmedia that you can follow week to week. It's exciting. You know, you can write down the participants and see what's happening. I am really looking forward to doing Patreon this week. So you can join us at Patreon, patreon.com/defendmedia. It's a lot of fun. And I'm not kidding. If you're going to join, this is the month to do it.
Yeah.
All right. Racism. Misogyny. Okay. So they're going to do a Romeo and Juliet.
Ugh.
I know. It's a little... I'm a little sick of it, you know, just as a play. I think it's overdone. There's, you know, the one with Cressida is way better, but, you know, nobody...
Let's just stick to... Why can't we just leave it at Leonardo DiCaprio, Romeo and Juliet?
Oh, because that... If you'll go back and watch it again, you'll find out that that was actually fucking awful.
It was beautiful.
Okay, so they're doing a new Romeo and Juliet, and they have cast Juliet. This actress named Francesca Rivers. Sounds pretty harmless, right? Oh, I'm sorry. Francesca Amawuda Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the problem most of these folks have is that, well, she's not white. And they seem to be pretty upset about that. All I can say is, Othello, you ignorant fucks. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have people of color all over Shakespeare. You know?
Yes.
And when it really comes down to it, it doesn't matter who
because
plays the part.
Fictional?
As long as they can do iambic pentameter and still mm-hmm. be emotional.
Mm-hmm.
But light, what? But soft, what light through yonder window breaks? 'Tis the east, and Juliet is the sun. And then, of course, my favorite meme from the internet is, and then Neil deGrasse Tyson pops up and says, "No, she's not the sun.
No,
she's not the sun."
But over 800 black women and non-binary actors have signed an open letter condemning the online racial abuse of Francesca. Who was recently cast as Juliet in a London West End production of Romeo and Juliet alongside Tom Holland. The letter published in The Guardian on Wednesday was the initiative of Enola Holmes actor Susan Wacoma and Crowning Glory playwright Somalia Nonye Seton. And it reads, when news of Francesca's casting in Jamie Lloyd's production of Romeo and Juliet was announced, so many people celebrated and welcomed this news. Many of us took to social media to shower out baby sis with love and congratulations. A huge deal for someone so young in their career, a huge rising talent. But then what followed was a too familiar horror that many of us visible black dark-skinned performers have experienced. The racist and misogynistic abuse directed at such a sweet soul has been too much to bear. For a casting announcement of a play to ignite such twisted, ugly abuse is truly embarrassing for those so empty and barren in their own lives that they must meddle in hateful abuse.
Mm-hmm.
I hope she's right. I hope they're writing plays. Because that's a monologue right fucking there. You know what I mean? But yeah, among the 883 signatories are Lashana Lynch, Sheila Atom, Marianne Jean-Baptiste, Lolly Andefope, I'm probably saying that one wrong, Freema Agyeman, Doctor mm-hmm. Who.
Doctor Who.
Wonmi Masaku, and Tamara Lawrence. The letter comes after Romeo and Juliet producer Jamie Lloyd's company issued a statement last week saying, following the announcement of our Romeo and Juliet cast, there's been a barrage of deplorable racial abuse online directed towards a member of our company. This must stop. You know what? It must stop.
It must
because
stop.
I bet 10 out of 10 of these racist, mouth-breathing, incel shit for brains aren't going to go and see a fucking Shakespeare play in the first fucking place.
That's right. It's not like you're worried about them buying tickets. They would not have bought tickets.
No, they're too busy jumping on that QAnon rumor that Shakespeare was actually Marlowe.
That's one of the oldest QAnon rumors ever.
That's where QAnon started, I think, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Was it Shakespeare didn't write Shakespeare's plays?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe a couple of the sonnets I can see you throwing in there, but for the most part, they all are hard to talk. it's not an easy language.
I made my argument with our last season of doing Shakespeare, you know, readings in my backyard, where I said we hit a particular part that was such an obvious mistake, and I said this is why I will always say William Shakespeare wrote his own plays, because a nobleman, a well-educated nobleman, would not have, like Francis Bacon or that, would not have made that mistake. But somebody who wasn't that educated but could write and was just telling stories, he would have easily made that mistake. That's why I think it's William Shakespeare, period.
That's fair. I take it.
And as for you know, her casting as Juliet, who cares? It doesn't matter. And that happens in every Shakespeare production now. That yep. We cast people of color all across, you know, in all kinds of roles. I mean, I've heard of a production of Othello where Othello was white and everybody else was black.
I'd watch that.
Yeah.
I would. I would like, absolutely.
That changes
that.
Everything, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. I just. Yeah. I mean, it's. I think at this point, those of you who have been listening long enough know, you know, I got an absolute hard on for Shakespeare. I just fucking. I love it. I own several copies of the complete works. I even. Kyla, my daughter, got me. A really neat print from the early 30s, not too long ago, that I am taking really shitty care of because it's just sitting out on the kitchen table for no fucking reason. Other than I don't have anywhere to put books right now.
You know what's sitting on my kitchen, like floor?
What's that? I got to see this.
Ophelia.
Oh.
Oh.
Which one's that from?
I don't know.
That's beautiful.
That was, yeah. Someone's paint. I remember that painting.
Oh, I do too. I just can't remember who the fuck painted it.
Yep.
No, Shakespeare, Hamlet's one of my favorites because it's just because I'm a cliche. You know?
And he's silly.
He really, he basically, as far as I can tell, took a hallucinogen and then the rest happened. You know,
yeah.
even the only part of that that isn't fed by my hallucinogen story is Fortinbras, you know, which is, I think, why everybody cuts him out when they do it anyway, because let's be honest, the Fortinbras stuff's pretty fucking dry. But, you know, otherwise, to be or not to be, that is the question. No note that I didn't do the Shakespeare or the Shatner pause in the middle.
Yes. That. Is a question.
yep. But
Shakespeare's my jam. I mean, yeah.
We were a couple of Shakespeare nerds back in the day.
I mean, I've got this book on, it's called The Essential Shakespeare. Basically, you go, each play is broken down. It talks about each character individually. It talks about various productions of the show, of the play, the plays that have been done over the years. And it's really a cool book. And we used this a lot when we were doing our backyard readings because we would want to talk about the play, talk about why this was the way it was. We weren't just there to read the play. We were there to discuss the play and experience the play. Yeah.
Can I throw out one last point and then we can move on?
No, I have to tell you guys an Instagram to follow, but go on.
You got a what to follow?
Instagram, if you like Shakespeare and literature.
I do. Go, jokes. go.
It's called lit.memory, like memory, M-E-M-R-Y.
Okay.
And I'll tell you one. Horatio, my lord, come over. Hamlet, can't. I'm having an existential crisis. Horatio, no one is home. Hamlet, are any of us ever really, truly home?
Yeah, I could see Hamlet and Horatio hooking up. Alas,
yeah, totally.
Alas, poor Yorick. I buggered him well. Fuck it. Let's just move on. No, let me. Okay, look, here's the thing. For all of you pretending to be Shakespeare purists, for all of you pretending to be protecting the works of the bard from the woke, just for your fucking thing, Juliet in the original play, as directed by Shakespeare, was played by a dude wearing a dress. So, he's either a drag queen or transgender, but a dude in a dress is the one who played her the first time. So shut the fuck up. Nobody gives a shit. Your opinion does not matter. Shush. Go back to talking about what race mer people are, you idiots.
Yes.
You fucking maroons. Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner's kid has come out using new names and pronouns. Mm. And the reason I'm bringing this up is their name is Finn. Finn appeared composed as they addressed the congregation at an event that occurred at Christ Church United Methodist in Charleston, West Virginia. Finn exuded a quiet strength that resonated throughout the church. The public acknowledgement of their identity marks a milestone in Finn's journey. In front of those present and the thousands watching the service via live stream on Facebook, Finn introduced them saying, "Hello, my name is Finn Affleck." Drawing from the book of Proverbs, Finn shared a passage that was significant to them, to their late grandfather. Quoting chapter 16, verse 8, Finn recited, "Better is a little with righteousness than a large income with injustice." You know what? Enjoy your journey. I'm glad you got parents that support you. Always impressed when I see famous people like Jamie Lee Curtis embracing their children, you know, who are transitioning. I love it. It's a good story. It makes me feel good. It makes me happy. And I thought you guys could use one of those today.
Do you think J-Lo's mad for taking the memes off her now? Like, people are focusing on that positivity instead of making fun of her?
Probably. It seems like something she'd get upset about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Finn.
Yeah. Way to go, Ben. Way to go, Jennifer.
Yeah.
You know what? No, I'm still not going to watch Elektra again. So the White House on Thursday honored, quote, the will of the vast majority of the American people, end quote. As President Joe Biden announced a final rule closing a loophole that's left tens of thousands of firearm dealers able to sell guns without running background checks on the purchasers. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosive, a.k.a. the Funtime Bureau,
that's
will
right.
require anyone, quote, engaged in the business, end quote, of selling firearms for a profit to register as a federally licensed firearms dealer, which will require them to conduct background criminal and mental health checks on their customers. Previously, dealers who sell guns online and at gun shows through private transactions have been required to register with the federal government only if their gun sales were the primary provider of their livelihood. The so-called gun show loophole, which allowed roughly 23,000 private sellers in 29 states to conduct their business without determining if buyers had a history of abuse, violence, or mental health struggles. Sellers who fail to register will risk being fined $250,000 and a potential prison sentence lasting of up to 5 years. Basically, what happened is that the Good Time Bureau released firearms trafficking data showing that 4 in 10 illegal gun cases tracked by the agency between 2017 and 21 involved sales through private dealers, which account for 40% of all gun sales in the United States. Quote, this rule will save lives by ensuring those who engage in the business of selling firearms are taking the necessary precautions we require of all other licensed gun sellers. Way to go, Joe. I mean, you know, you got a Congress that you can't do anything with, and yet you keep making shit happen. It's fucking amazing. Now, I realize we're brand new to you putting up a spine on the whole Gaza thing, but you know what? You're headed in the right direction. How about a little quicker step on that, sport? Huh?
Yeah, that's all we really need.
If worse comes to worse, just get Kamala out there again. She gave a really good speech about 2 weeks ago where she's just like, we got to fucking stop this thing. And everybody's like, fuck yeah, we do. That's all. J.D. Vance wants Ukraine to give up, roll over, and think about somebody better looking. Having not learned its lesson about publishing dishonest and unfact-checked swill from the GOP senators with that whole, quote, Tom Cotton calls for active duty military to shoot all the hippies debacle from a few years ago, the New York Times on Friday decided to give diseased penile cyst J.D. Vance the run of its opinion page so he could simp for Vladimir Putin's phony nation of Ukraine must be stopped. Stomped into ground beef under boot heel of Russian greatness foreign policy. Mm-hmm. Vance has been a scumbag since forever, And all he wants to publish fact-free, self-serving screeds on Breitbart or the Daily Wire or his old Tumblr account, and that's his business. But keep it away from the allegedly legit media organs. The adults are trying to solve serious problems here. J.D. Vance is a turd. And the worst part is I read his fucking book, his first one, and it wasn't bad. But now he's turned into a fucking lunatic.
Money.
It's got to be.
It's money. It's always money.
But not every rich person I know is a complete fucking lunatic. Just most of them.
Yeah, but like once they get some and they're like, I could keep doing this stupid ass thing because I could get more money.
Yeah.
Then they're going to keep doing it.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm all about throwing money to Ukraine. It is the speed bump. It is the speed bump. The only one keeping Putin out of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And with our treaty obligations, you know, either he's going to roll into Europe and we're going to have to go fight, or Trump will be president and Europe will fall. That's really what it comes down to. That's where we're at. And J.D. Vance is all, fuck a bunch of Europe. Let's make it communist. Because make no mistake, Vladimir Putin loves communism, loved being a communist, loved the Soviet system under communism, fucking loved it and wants to get back to that.
Yeah,
that's all. That's so true. while you right wing nut jobs are gearing up to make an assault on pizza basements, and the whole time, all you can think is I sure do hate those fucking leftist commies. No, we're not communists, you idiot. We're socialists. Pay attention.
They don't know what either word the
difference
means.
They don't know the difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't know what words mean. They heard it from one person. They're like, exactly. That's exactly what
they're
it
making
is.
Making the frogs gay. That's the Russians. The Russians are the guys with the gay frog agenda. I'm just saying.
Yes, that's true.
All right, let's take a little break. When we get back on the other side, we're going to do some barely international news.
Man, Pete.
Because you're fine. We'll stop and then you can.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, we remember Robert McNeil, Trina Robbins, and O.J. Simpson.
Good riddance to bad trash.
Tinseltown news, Jared Padalecki will play Sam again.
Sammy.
Gina Carano is still unhinged with Disney.
Well, yeah.
Peacemaker Season 2 has started production.
I can't wait for another epic eagly fight.
Comics, Josh Gad will still co-write a comic. Mike Barron returns with new Nexus. Critical Role's Midst is getting a new series. We review Iron Man, Ms. Marvel Mutant Menace, Uncanny Valley, Web of Spider-Man, Kill Your Darlings, Crave, Daredevil, Once Upon a Time at the End of the World, and Cabinet.
I read a lot of comic books this week, you guys.
All that in Valiant's massive checklist. Face front, true believers, it's the world's greatest comic book podcast. Available Tuesdays on thecomicbookpodcast.com and most of the places you can find podcasts.
You know, England doesn't have a kidney bank, but it does have a Liverpool. Just a little joke there as we run up to the end of the Premier League season.
That's true.
I threw this article on because it was interesting, if ultimately silly. If there's one thing that we've done as a nation to help protect Israel and done a good job at, it's the Iron Dome. Mm-hmm. The Iron Dome is just a series of basically like machine guns or some shit. And every time somebody launches a rocket towards Israel, the Iron Dome catches it, shoots it down the majority of the time. 99 out of 100 times, give or take. It is a cool-ass weapon system, and I am really impressed every time I think of it. I'm just like, fuck, that's really cool. Iran launched over 200 missiles and drones at Israel. And the Iron Dome knocked them all back. Here's the deal. For those of you that don't know, Iran and Israel, there's a little bit of space in betwixt them.
Yeah.
So we knew about the drones way early, like hours before they even got there. Everybody's like, oh, no, drones. You guys want to grab a lunch and then we'll come back and shoot them down? What are you thinking here?
I think we got this under control here. Yeah.
We'll grab a nosh. Come back. You know, it's, I mean, don't hurry. Don't hurry. We got time. We got like 3.5-4 hours before this thing hits.
By the way, regardless of what Netanyahu is doing with the aid we're giving him and the weapons we're giving him, this is the intention for what it was all for, was to beef up the Iron Dome. And he's instead using it to, you know, completely wipe out the Palestinians. But the fact is the Iron Dome was built to protect Israel from everyone, because it's a Muslim creed that you have to control the city of Jerusalem, and they don't.
Huh? It's just. I don't know. You know, Iran is bad guys. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Their government is bad guys. Guess what? Yeah. So is Netanyahu. Also a bad guy. Mm-hmm. So is Elon Musk. Bad guy. Everybody in charge running around doing dipshit in the Middle East. I just said Elon Musk because I saw a picture of him. That's where that came from.
That's fair.
He is a bad guy, though.
He is a bad guy. He's a bad guy. Yep. So... nuts. Just fucking nuts. Ken Buck. You all remember Ken Buck?
I fucking love Ken Buck.
Weird, huh? Feels
funny.
It's
so weird, but I love him. I love him every day that I think about how he nominated somebody just because he thinks Speaker of the House is the worst job ever.
Yep.
And he doesn't like that guy.
I don't like that guy. Give him Speaker of
the worst
House.
Job in America.
Yep.
Fucking love him. Anyway, let's talk
too.
About him.
No, he's fun. So Ken Buck popped up here not too long back and decided that he had a thing to say about Marjorie Greene again. This time he called her Moscow Marjorie.
I love it.
The jab comes after former Speaker Kevin McCarthy called Greene, quote, a very serious legislator, end quote, following her threat to force a vote to oust Speaker Mike Johnson over Ukraine aid. Buck disagreed with McCarthy's assessment, quote, my experience with Marjorie is... people have talked to her about not filing articles of impeachment on President Biden before he was sworn into office, on not filing articles of impeachment that were groundless, made on other individuals in the Biden administration. And she was never moved by that. She was always focused on her social media account. And Moscow Marjorie is focused now on this Ukraine issue and getting her talking points from the Kremlin and making sure that she is popular and she's getting a lot of coverage.
This is all true. Yeah.
Of course it is. Moscow Marjorie.
Kim Buck is not speaking lies, and I wish he was on our side, but I don't mind what he's doing on his side.
Yeah.
I think that people should call her Marge. Like, people that don't like her, I think they should just start calling her Marge just to fucking piss her off.
Oh, Moscow homie. Marge. Yeah. But yeah, Buck abruptly retired from Congress last month. He clashed with the Georgia Republican in the final months of his tenure after he moved to remove McCarthy from the speakership last year. Greene was a close McCarthy ally. Both Buck and Greene were members of the House Freedom Caucus at one point, though Greene left the group last year amid internal strife. The caucus also voted to kick out Buck just days before his resignation.
The two of you are way too crazy for our insanity party.
I think it was they got caucus. Rid of her because she wasn't as nuts as Boebert.
Yes.
And they got rid of him because he was making fun of them. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're like, well, you can't be in here if you're going to be a name caller. Because, as we know, Republicans are a bunch of dainty fucking snowflakes.
That's right.
A Christianity Today editor ripped Republicans for lacking moral vision in their abortion stances. Russell Moore, who calls himself pro-life and anti-Trump, took aim at conservatives who, quote, who let, quote, declining poll numbers impact their messaging. Editor-in-chief of Christianity Today knocked some Republicans who seem to be acting as though they're pro-life, with three exceptions. Those exceptions? Rape, incest, and declining poll numbers, said Moore. He said, that's not a compelling moral vision to persuade the hearts and minds of people. Guess what, sport? 87% of Americans think we ought to have abortion care. Okay? Mm-hmm. It is not winning the hearts and minds of people. It's you being a misogynistic fucking douchebag.
Yes.
The comments from Moore, who described himself as pro-life and anti-Trump, arrive after former President Donald Trump recently said that he wouldn't sign a national abortion ban and that he'd leave abortion rights up to the states if he returns to the Oval Office. The presumptive GOP nominee, in other remarks this week, also said that the Arizona Supreme Court went too far after it ruled that a 160-year-old law criminalizing nearly all abortions be enforced, which, by the way, as an aside, let me put a pin in that, that law was written before they were a state. How can they even re-implement it? It predates who they are.
Exactly.
You know? So, but yeah, this asshole, he made fun of Ron DeSantis for signing a 6-week ban that wasn't a total ban. You know, that's this guy. That's this piece of shit. So, anyway, Mr. Moore, go fuck yourself. And then I should have saved that happy story for now, and instead I'm going to give you this, but the Supreme Court may throw out hundreds of January 6th convictions. On January 6th, 2021, Joseph Fisher allegedly entered the U.S. Capitol along with more than 2,000 others in the effort to stop the counting of the electoral votes that was already underway. Mm-hmm. Fisher wasn't there in his official capacity as a police officer with the North Cornwall Township Police Department of Pennsylvania. He was there to, per text messages he sent that were later cited in a filing by Department of Justice lawyers, quote, take Democratic Congress to the gallows. Can't vote if they can't breathe, he said.
Well.
Yep.
Seems super specific.
Very. Fisher, per federal charging documents, pushed his way to the building with yells of charge.
That sounds stupid. He should feel embarrassed about that.
He absolutely should. He should just hang
his head. If he's going to be embarrassed about any of this, that's it.
Yeah. According
he could have been calling out, one if by land, two if by sea, or something like that.
Yeah. And this is all according to video he recorded himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Anyway, so in an appeal to dismiss the same charge when it was brought against January 6th defendant Garrett Miller, Judge Carl Nichols of the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia reached a different conclusion. His March 2022 decision, Nichols wrote that the word otherwise imposes a limit on the second subsection and, quote, requires that the defendant have taken some action with respect to a document, record, or other object in order to corruptly obstruct, impede, or influence an official proceeding. Since Miller did not attempt to obstruct an official proceeding related to a document, record, or other object, the charge against him was dismissed. So basically, they broke in, they beat the fuck out of the cops, they pooped in the hallways, they destroyed property, they did all of this damage, you had the one jackass that stole the fucking lectern, you know.
All of which was, we know, was pre-planned because they fucking had merch.
Yeah.
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 And the reason that the court may throw it all out is because they didn't break in and steal the papers out of someone's hand.
Out of their hand?
Yep.
I didn't know that was caught. Like, okay, so I could go break in my neighbor's yard or house.
Only if Trump tells you to, apparently.
I'm surprised he hasn't.
Yeah, because I'll tell you right now, if I go down to the post office and hang out for 4 minutes after close and refuse to leave, mm-hmm. and then poop on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to call the cops.
Yeah.
That's just what happens. So, yeah. Yeah, this is something that may be coming that is just going to make me give up, I think. Mm. I don't want to give up.
I haven't. I've given up.
I still care.
I'm tired.
I still give a shit.
I don't. I'm too tired. It just keeps happening.
So
that's okay. You care.
Yeah. So to finish up, Tiffany Trump had a picture taken for her of herself and put it on the internet. And Matt Gaetz sent her fire, heart, smiley face with heart for eyes, and a thumbs up. To which the internet said, ew, creepy, gross. On many levels, yuck. Amy Siskind was like, as if our country isn't traumatized enough, now we need to imagine Matt Gaetz and Tiffany Trump together.
She's too old for him.
I was going to say, she's too old for you, Gaetz. Yep. What's wrong with you?
Yep. Maybe he's trying to like hide it and be like, I like women of age.
Yep. Women who are, you know, closer to my own age.
Close-ish.
I like my girls a little bit old.
And have potential access to billions of dollars, but actually Tiffany was the one that he pretty much doesn't pay any attention to, isn't she?
Yeah, because it was the non-imported wife.
Yeah.
Exactly. She was the Marla Maples daughter, and so he doesn't pay much attention to her. In fact, I think people were yelling at him to actually pay attention to Tiffany when he was running for president.
I think he is now because the platform she has... with like, because he has to show that he's a good Christian and hanging out with his kids. So I think he does now, you know, publicly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What's that?
Nothing. It's not related to Tiffany.
Okay. We'll talk about it later.
It's just Kyle Rittenhouse. Did we talk about how he failed his test to join?
No, we didn't.
No, we missed that one.
Wasn't he trying to join? He was trying to join the military. I can't remember what branch.
Yeah, he was, and he failed.
He failed his physical.
He failed the
ASVAB. He failed the ASVAB.
And then a couple weeks later, he went like to go save America.
The thing about the ASVAB is that you can actually wind up at boot camp, and they have you take the ASVAB if you didn't take it before.
Yeah,
and so you wind up coming home out of boot camp, out of basic training.
He didn't even make it.
Yeah. And you wash out before you even get to, you know, get punished with 50 push-ups or something. I mean, it's just funny that he failed his ASVAB. And this is, again, the problem with our education system is that, you should be able to pass that. But they've toughened it up a lot.
I don't think it's the problem with our education. I think it's he's fucking stupid.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
He's a fucking moron. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I remember... out of all of the three tests I took, the ACT, the SAT, and the ASVABs, I fucking crushed the ASVAB. I mean, I just destroyed that fucking test. Yep. And
it used to be a really easy test to pass, but they
apparently from it what is I understand, too easy.
Yeah, from what I understand, is it's actually got. I'm not saying Kyle Rittenhouse would have been able to pass the original ASVAB test. I'm just saying that it's from what I've understood from people who've had kids wash out, and I was like, what? Wait, they washed out? And he's like, yeah, it was the ASVAB. And it's like, what? Oh, no, it's worse than it ever was. It's so much harder. And I'm like, okay.
But that was it. I did okay.
No child left behind. Pew, pew, pew. Yeah. Yep.
I did okay on my SATs. I did okay on my ACTs. Better on language comprehension than on the numerical comprehension.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's be honest. I did some very rudimentary math just off the top of my head the other day. I did a little, subtraction and it like I knew, like it was something that I did enough that it was quick. I was impressed with myself for a good half an hour. I was just like, you did some math, buddy. Way to go, sport. You know,
well, not worried about math again.
where the fuck a comma goes, because that serves you well. But no, there was another story that I think I skipped this week where a Texas legislator was trying to remove the requirement for Algebra 2 from high school graduations.
Oh my God, that was so funny. The fucking nerd comment.
Yeah, and basically this dude is a teacher. And when asked why he didn't do a great job on his SATs or some shit, he's like, well, I wasn't a nerd.
No, he's like, well, excuse me, but like, I'm not a nerd.
It's like, oh, yeah, that's a Texas teacher.
Nerd.
That, I'm sorry, but that's funny.
It was
funny. Because I would say the same thing. I'd be like, well, I'm not a fucking nerd.
I was a nerd. Still can't do math.
Yep. Still lousy at math.
Are despite a nerd. Being a nerd. I am still a nerd.
Yeah, he's actually pretty good at math.
Very much a nerd. And yet, in math and me are not good friends. Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me that you would be good at math.
Yeah, I was pretty okay. I was pretty good at math.
Yeah. I was great until algebra, and then it just came apart. Geometry was fine. You know, I liked it.
I was,
it was
great
fun.
Until they started having us do, you know, all the, you know, the
letters,
fractions and things in algebra. And I was like, okay, you've just, and like really complex math in algebra. And I'm like, I can't keep all this in my head, guys. I'm out. And I wish I could have gone from algebra one straight to geometry, because I would have had no problem with geometry. I have no problem with geometry, but they wanted you to take algebra two. And I was like, yeah, can't get through this one. Sorry.
Yeah. I ended up in college. I ended up doing remedial algebra.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. and
like below 10-10.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
We get on the other side of the paywall. I'll tell you the truth about my college math experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. We are at the end of the show, gang. What I'd like to do is invite you to join us on Patreon. Every week that we record, we drop special content behind the paywall at Patreon. It's funnier. It's naughtier. It's more personal. It's deeper. And sometimes it's not deeper. Sometimes it is very fucking surface. But yeah, no, we got a lot going on. And we are looking forward to you joining us at patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. That's where we're going to be. And we're going to tell some stories today. Mm-hmm. Anybody got anything else you want to close with?
Nope.
No.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you'll do me a favor, let's all do what the British lady says.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com, defenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.